If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. That's what our moms tell people when the iPhone doesn't come in enough colors. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
Oh, heavens.
Maybe.
A laugh or more, perhaps even.
Well, a laugh or two. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Now, I think we got to start this episode by talking about a leak that has been getting a lot of traction lately, and that is supposedly that we are due for the, I would call it a tradition at this point, of Apple introducing a new fun little iPhone color. They're just like, time for a new one, you know?
Yeah, you know, they give the iPhone line a little extra pep in their step, you know? They've been out for a while now. We've seen the colors. We've seen them all. They're kind of old news. I don't want to, you know,
I agree,
harsh on them too much, but, you know, new color. It's always exciting. I think it's about time.
Now, unfortunately, this time around, the color in question happens to be yellow. And from the rumors that we've seen, I'm not going to lie, Noah, it looks like piss. It really does. It looks terrible.
I don't see. I like the theory. Like, in theory, a yellow could be a good color. Maybe like more of a gold than a yellow, but not the gold that already exists. I feel like there's some sort of like a light, like a spring. These are spring colors, right? They're usually kind of like, they do like sort of a spring color. I could see like a nice, you know, spring yellow, like the Peeps, you know, Peep shade of yellow.
Okay, Peep yellow.
Mm. Right?
Now we're talking. Right? See, if it looks like the rendered image here on MacRumors, then I'm going to jump because that looks terrible. I don't like that one bit at all.
Yeah, that's so weird. I think partially it's the way that they like rendered the light on the back, because like,
yeah, it's a
bit
harsh.
I'm sorry, you said the pee thing, and it's like the right side looks like normal piss and the left side looks like dehydrated piss. That's all I
was
gonna
say. It looks like the iPhone needs to drink more water. Jesus,
that's actually bad. That's so bad.
Yeah. And so here's the thing that's interesting is they mentioned at the bottom here that Apple announced green colors for the iPhone 13 series, which I leaked, by the way, fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on Tuesday, March 8th of last year. And also keep in mind that was on the regular iPhone 13 as well as the 13 Pro and Pro Max. So it does beg the question, are we going to get a yellow iPhone 14 Pro and Pro Max? And what would that look like? Because if it's anything like this, then yikes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I really like the look of the Pro. I just love the back, like the Pro and the Pro Max, just like this material on the back, what's it called? The glass, what's the name of this material that's on the back of the iPhone?
Frosted glass,
right?
Frosted, yes. Yeah.
I love the frosted glass. I love the look of that. I feel like they could maybe make the yellow work there. When it's just like solid yellow on the back, I don't know. But here's the thing. Look at the camera bump on this iPhone, on this render here, because that's frosted glass on the 14 and 14 Plus, right? So that,
you're right, yes.
And that I kind of like. That's like a very bright yellow. That's sort of that Peep almost yellow, but like very bright yellow. And I kind of like that. I feel like it could maybe work on the frosted glass. I don't know.
you know, the more I think about it, the more I think you might actually be right. I want to see if they have a render here. Okay, so they do have the old iPhone XR, which was a yellow that I didn't mind because it was saturated enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if they did do something of that saturation level, I feel like that's not the worst thing I've ever seen. But I don't... I'm not sold. Now, I will say this, Noah. Mm-hmm. I have the black iPhone. Oh, I've got the I've got my K-Scoot case on it here.
Giving them free advertisement on the podcast.
No, I get CPMs everywhere. I'm going to bill them for this one. Just kidding. I don't think I can do that. But I've got the black iPhone, which is the best color. In fact, I actually think I did a little tweet about that to see what people thought about that, and I totally forgot. I never checked the results. So let's find out. What do people think? Uh-oh, I'm correct. Ha ha ha. Which iPhone 14 Pro color is the correct color? And 40%. 40% Noah said black, 22% said white incorrectly, 30% said purple. That I think is a deserving second, and 8% said gold, which is absolutely correct because the gold is hideous.
I don't know. I gotta give another look at the gold before I agree with you there. I will say though, I think
it's
that the purple is kind of disappointing. I'm almost always gonna get the like color of the year when I get the new iPhone. Because I think that's like part of the fun. It's like you get the new phone.
Absolutely.
There's like, you know, it's like you get the new phone. It's there are some things that are different. But like one of the easiest ways to tell that it's like the new phone is, you know, by the color. Because they have a special color every year. So.
And because they don't change anything else.
Well, exactly. Right. I mean, if you look at this thing from the back, you wouldn't know that it's the, you know, that it's the new iPhone. Maybe you'd notice that the camera bump's bigger, but otherwise you wouldn't know. But you see the color. So I always like the color. And I will say that the purple is disappointing because the previous 2 years with those, like, blues, the darker blue and then the Sierra blue, the light blue, I really like those colors. Mm. And I don't like them as much as the purple. No, I like them more. I don't like the purple as much as them.
Hmm. Okay. No, I think that's fair. I think purple is definitely one of the weaker ones. I think it should have been a little bit better, like just more colorful.
Yeah,
most people don't even know that it is purple unless they look really closely and in certain lights. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not gonna lie to you, Noah. I did have the intrusive thought. So as you know, I go caseless because I'm a heathen and I like to play a dangerous game. You know what can I say? I'm a bit of a daredevil, some might even say.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as a result of that, do occasionally encounter an unfortunate scuff.
Right. It happens.
Now, in this particular case, you probably can't even see it, but like right in this corner, you can kind of see it as the light moves across it. I did do a bit of just a little drop on a concrete floor from about chest height. So I'm in some ways very impressed that my only, shall I say, trophy of this mishap is a small scuff in the corner of the phone. But given my propensity to want things to be absolutely immaculate, it has crossed my mind to potentially upgrade my phone to the new color that comes out this week. Is that bad?
I mean, is it necessary? Absolutely not. Could you do it for relatively little money if you sell your existing phone? Yeah, you probably could.
I think I might actually just, you know, go ahead and give it a shot.
I think that could
just
be...
It
could be an interesting video. I don't know if you were planning to make a video on it, but just like if you wanted, like if Apple comes out with like some color, we'll see how good the yellow is. But like, you know, the theory could be if Apple comes out with like a really good color that you want, how easy and inexpensive is it for you to change the color of your iPhone? Could be interesting.
Now, the less expensive option would be to just get a case.
That's true.
Or realistically to use... I've been using the Case Coup case. I'm going to do a free plug for them because I genuinely like... Okay, I never have cases, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to advertise phone cases because most people aren't stupid, right? Most people do have cases, and so they would like to know which ones are good. Now, this phone case, I will confess, as a caseless individual, I do use it from time to time. You might have noticed it on our recent undisclosed outing, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
whereby, like, when I'm traveling around and it's going to be bumped and jostled, I do put this on it. And the main reason is because it's MagSafe, but it kicks out. Like,
that is nice.
Because everything that I use for charging is MagSafe, which means that if a case doesn't have MagSafe, I might as well not have a case, right? Because if a case is literally going to prevent me from using my accessories for charging, what's the point of it? It's not protecting me. It's just stupid. So this has that. And then it also props it up. And having a propped up phone is something that I can't do without a case. So it doesn't cost me MagSafe and it gives me a propping up thing. So there you go. That's all I need.
That is pretty nice. And I'll say, you know, I am also a caseless phone user, as you can see.
Hell yeah.
I have my little MagSafe wallet on the back, but
absolutely.
You know, otherwise, I am a caseless user, and I have been that way for a couple of years. I used to use cases, but these days I don't. The one thing I will say that sort of just crossed my mind is I do have a little phone mount in in my bathroom, like on the sink. I have one so that when I'm like brushing my teeth, I can, you know, put my phone in the mount and like play a video or something. So
how long do you brush your teeth for?
You know, 2 minutes. That's what you're supposed to
do. That's not a very long video.
Well, you start, you know, you put the video, you play the video, you do it for 2 minutes, and then you continue watching the video, you know, after your teeth are brushed. See how that works?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, I hate to derail the stream here for a moment, but are you also hearing what sounds like an explosion sound?
Yes, it sounds like the, what's it called? The boom, the overused, like, boom sound.
Yeah. I don't know what the heck is making that sound.
Do you?
And why is it in the stream?
Do you hear it, too?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And people are talking about it in the chat. Now, I can't imagine that's coming through on our audio recording. So if it is and you're listening to this and you didn't watch the stream, but you can hear the boom, then gosh, I don't know what to tell you. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that was.
How is it possible?
I have no idea, but it was really, there was like, it happened one time right after you said something and it sounded like it was on purpose. Like you said something and it was like, boom. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Like when they use it for like that dramatic accent that like, can't do the sound. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm so confused. I'm like looking at all the tabs I have open. I got nothing. I simply have no clue.
Well, I'm not hearing it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it either. So perhaps we're okay.
Good.
I'm so confused. Not about the boom sound, but about Apple. Because we're not just expecting this new color to come out pretty soon. There are a litany of things that I don't understand about everything, really. I'm a confused individual, and I have no option but to vent. And what we've got here is a rumor from Mark Gurman that new 13 and 15-inch MacBook Airs are likely to launch by summer. Now, this also comes off the heels of another report about... Gosh, the MacBook Air is confusing me because I swear to God, we had like one day ago. Oh gosh, Chrome is absolutely not having it. Okay, here we go. We're good. All right. Friday, we have this article about the 15-inch MacBook Air. So according to Ross Young, Apple has been working on a 15.5-inch MacBook Air. He leaked this, by the way, over a year ago. So this is not exactly like a completely shocking new revelation. Okay. So we're starting with that. Early April is what Ross Young is saying. But an announcement and pre-orders could take place sooner, like March or at an early April event or something of that nature. Now, the thing that's weird is apparently they're claiming the 13-inch MacBook Air will be available with the M2 chip. Now, to me, that makes no sense. Ming-Chi Kuo says a 15-inch M2 and M2 Pro MacBook Air. That makes even less sense. What's the difference between a 15-inch MacBook Air and a 14-inch MacBook Pro if they have the same chip? Similar size display, is it just ports and ProMotion and like maybe the Pro doesn't thermal throttle? This, the math ain't math in here. Something is funky. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do find it weird. You know, we've had we've talked about this a little bit, maybe on the show, maybe in person, but you know, partially the whole thing about if this 15-inch launches with the M2 chip, it's already very late right. into the cycle of the M2. We're expecting to get M3 soon, but it also doesn't make sense for these to launch with M3 before Dub-Dub, because we were kind of expecting Dub-Dub would be where they would talk about the M3 chip. And then talking about the potential M2 Pro 15-inch, you know, in the 15-inch, I think, you know, honestly, first of all, we saw the M2 Pro come to the Mac Mini, so that's one thing. And for another thing, you know, the MacBook Air, I guess maybe this was more back when the Apple Silicon first launched. But we had that the right. MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro that were basically the same computer. And the main difference, well, a couple things like the touch bar, whatever. But the main difference was like the fan. One had a fan, one didn't. A little bit different build, whatever. So this could be another case like that. You know, yes, the 15-inch MacBook Air would start to encroach on the 14-inch Pro's sort of market, I guess. But there is, you know, the difference. The Pro would be a little bit smaller. It would be a bit thicker. It would have, I guess, better ports and ProMotion, whatever. So I could see it being another case like that. But it is a very crowded space. You know, Apple has a lot of products, you know, in this in this space.
I mean, I think if you really boil it down to just the MacBook Air 15 on its own, I think it will make sense, but it's definitely going to have a narrow like range. To your point about Apple being somewhat crowded, I mean, you look at the 13-inch, they got doubles of the 13-inch right now, and you know that MacBook deal's a sure thing for sure. And so, I mean... So the problem that you run into with the 13-inch MacBook Air already is that if you spec it up a little bit, you know, give it 16 gigs of RAM, half a terabyte, you're already at the point where you might as well just buy a 14-inch MacBook Pro. So unless you are absolutely sold on the form factor, there's only a very narrow range of the lower spec configurations or a used one. Where it actually makes sense. But when you go to the 15-inch, which would presumably be priced at least $100 or $200 more for the same configuration, then honestly, that puts us at, what, $1,499, $1,399 perhaps? Yeah, because the Air is $1,199. So it would be $1,399 for a 14-inch. Now, in that base configuration, or... $1,599 with more storage, I'd say hell yeah, great deal, do it, buy it. But you bump it up to more RAM, more storage than that, and you're back at the 14 inch where it's like, I'm gonna take that trade off. I'm gonna take the lower, the smaller screen, so I can get ProMotion and more ports and more battery life, and a fan. So, I don't know. It's interesting, but the thing that really confuses me here is not the positioning of this product, but the timing. The 15-inch model will reportedly be available with the M2 chip. That is extremely unusual to me, and I personally think that it's unlikely that we would see just a 15-inch MacBook Air coming out with a 10-month-old chip. So let's go back up to what Mark Gurman was saying today. So, Gurman is saying, probably more realistically, that they're going to launch both an updated 13-inch MacBook Air and a 15-inch MacBook Air. I don't see why you would do these things separately. I think that makes sense. Now, he did say that these models could use, I don't know, any sort of chip. He said plausible that it could have an as-yet-unannounced M3 chip, but he did not reveal whether the 15-inch would also be equipped with it. And he also said that a 15-inch model with an M2 chip may still excite consumers, but would quickly become outdated because the M3 chip is soon. What I'm hearing here is that Gurmi, he don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess none of us necessarily really know, but I feel like it really doesn't make sense, right? Because if they launch, right, when they launch, this is something that I said somewhere else that may or may not ever see the light of day, but if they launch the 15-inch MacBook Air with this M2 chip, it'll become outdated like almost immediately. But then when they launch the new M3 chip, right, this is what I was trying to say, when they launch the new M3 chip, they like to put them in those base products, so we'd expect to see, you know, a base MacBook Pro, whatever, the 13-inch, the MacBook Air, and the Mac Mini, right? And so if they just update the 15-inch, then I guess they could go ahead and update the 13-inch, but then they would be, I guess, out of sync with each other. And then it's like, it's weird. It's like, oh, you bump up to the bigger screen size? Oh, well, you're getting a last-gen processor too. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Seems like at this point, maybe they were planning to do it earlier and they couldn't for some reason, but at this point, I feel like they kind of just have to wait.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to double down, because everything that you've just said has convinced me yet further that there is no way that Apple would launch a 15-inch MacBook Air with an M2 chip 10 months after the 13-inch with the M2 chip. That is stupid. It's a no. I also don't think, I think Ming-Chi Kuo is wrong as well. I don't think there's going to be an M2 Pro or an M3 Pro. That's silly. It's a fanless architecture. The M2 Pro, it needs a fan. It doesn't need that much cooling, but it does absolutely need a fan. And at that point, it's not even a MacBook Air anymore. So here's what's going to happen. Here's my take. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get the M3 chip pretty soon. Possibly this month. We could, I mean, honestly, every Tuesday is fair game now for Apple to tease an event. So we got to keep our ears and eyes and noses peeled, all right? Because it could be imminent. But sometime between now and June, I think we're going to get the M3 chip. That's what I think. And I think that the logical way to launch that is obviously, as you said, in the MacBook Air, the entry-level stuff. That's what they always do. So it has to come out in the MacBook Air. And if it has to come out in the M2, in the 13-inch MacBook Air, well, there you go. Launch the 15-inch. That's the big excitement thing. You get the new chip and you get a new form factor. That, to me, is a compelling product. If they don't do that, I don't see why you would even bother.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I guess, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, we're expecting the new chip to come at WWDC, because in the past, that's where they've announced the new chips. And we've also expected you know, 3 nanometer on the M3, we're expecting it to be a bit of a bigger deal than the M2 was. So we're kind of expecting that it would get some event time. It makes sense to be a dub-dub, but there's no reason why it has to be. So sort of, you know, like you were saying before, there could be an event this month or maybe even next month, early next month, whatever it is. There could be an event where they do what you said. They announce the M3 chip and they announce, you know, these new products. And maybe the M3 Pro and Max and whatever, maybe those come at dub-dub. So we still do get, you know, new processors, but they start the next generation a little bit sooner, and that would let them, you know, start selling these products. So maybe that happens.
That's an interesting point. Gosh, it is confusing to figure out what makes the most sense. But okay, how about this? Here's another tidbit that might add some credibility to what you're saying here, Noah.
Okay.
Take a look at this. A new iMac is reportedly in advanced stages of development, also according to Gurman. And now, obviously, this is to be expected because, quite frankly, I'm peeved that the 24-inch iMac came out back in 2021 in, I think it was April, and they just said, okay, there you go, bye-bye, and haven't touched it since. They killed the bigger brother, didn't even bother upgrading that. It's the poor thing's just been sitting around. So to me, if we're talking about this new iMac coming to fruition, and we're talking about a 15-inch MacBook Air, what do all of these things have in common? As you pointed out, they are all these entry-level, base-tier chip products. So if this iMac is about to launch and a new 15-inch MacBook Air is about to launch, I'm seeing, boom, press release or event material right there. Your new chip goes in these devices. That makes sense to me. Now, where this gets a little irritating is that Apple only put the M2 chip in the Mac Mini like 25 minutes ago. So presumably that would not happen this time around. And for whatever reason, that seems to be a trend that Apple is just sort of leaving out certain chips on certain products. I mean, last summer we got the M2 chip, but the Mac Mini just stayed chilling for like 7 more months. The iMac completely got ignored, probably skipped that generation altogether. So now it seems like we're going to do it again. This time we get the iMac and the MacBook Air. Maybe they just say, forget the iPad, forget the Mac Mini. Don't need that. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't just do everything all at once, you know? Why not do MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, 15-inch MacBook Air, 24-inch iMac, Mac Mini, boom, everything all at once.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely make sense for them to do that. I think part of the reason might be, so when they announced, you know, the Mac Mini with the M2, that was part of that weird event that kind of got pulled out of the thing, and it was announced like months after we were expecting it to, right? So that could be part of the reason that, like, maybe true, that Mac Mini was supposed to come out a few months earlier than it did. Still probably would have been a bit true, too soon. That's probably still too soon for them to immediately go and stick the M3 in there. Maybe that's just the new cycle for Apple, right? Like, these chips are so good that you really don't need to upgrade that often. Right. So if they, you know, they stake out the new products, it's not like yours is, you know, outdated and unusable at that point. They just, you know, they have the latest chip, they just stick them in there. So maybe their timing got thrown off there. Maybe the Mac Mini is going to miss the M3, or it'll get the M3 later. We'll see. The iMac is a complete mess. Honestly, I completely forgot that it existed because they got rid of all the bigger ones, and the 24-inch hasn't been touched since that one upgrade. I completely forgot. Like, I'm not even kidding. I forgot that was, like, a product that Apple builds. Like, I'm not kidding. That's, like, that's bad.
That is pretty bad. It's definitely fair, though. I mean, I thought that Apple Silicon was going to give us a little more clarity and organization, but it seems like that's not the case. And we actually got a question here from Concept Central, who wants to know about the larger iMac, because it seems like Apple forgot that they made that one at one point too. Like, my goodness, what are we doing here, folks? And that segment right now is completely borked, right? It's totally confusing. Like, would they just discontinue it, not even try, in order to get people to buy a studio display and a Mac Studio? Well, I don't know if that's the case, because a studio display plus a Mac Studio is minimum without even getting a keyboard or mouse, you're spending, what is it, like $3,700? It's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. So that's confusing. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Not to mention that the studio display is $100 cheaper than an entire iMac with a computer in it that it replaced and has the same panel. So that doesn't make sense. And then we hear, and get this, we hear, oh, the Mac Studio came out because the Mac Pro wasn't ready. And now they're saying, oh, hey, you know what's next? You know what's going to happen next? A new Mac Pro is going to feature a higher-end M2 Extreme chip. Oh, no, it won't. It was canceled. So they're saying same design as the 2019 model. Huge, massive machine. But without even an M2 Extreme? So it's just an M2 Ultra? And you can't upgrade the RAM? Maybe you can upgrade the storage? But why? So if it's not going to have bigger, beefier chip, and it's not going to have upgradable RAM, Why does it need to be that big? What is in that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've seen the Mac Studio. The Mac Studio is, like, super small. And it's going to have supposedly, you know, maybe the same chip, right? And it works just fine in there. Like, I get, like, maybe the storage is upgradable. Maybe you can add some other kind of card. I don't know if that would even be an option. Like, there was the Afterburner card on the current Mac Pro. Yeah. I guess you don't really need that anymore because there's, like, the accelerators on the chip. Maybe there's some kind of other card that you can add to it somehow. There's no business for it being that big. Like, that would be, like, if you think that, like, the Mac Mini looks ridiculous, like that tiny little Mac Mini board in that case that's, like, way too big with the power supply that's way too big for it, like, that's ridiculous. This thing is going to be, like, completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it just, there, nothing makes sense, Noah. I'm confused. Why aren't they doing this? Why not make simple?
I don't know. I feel like the Mac Studio is, like, it's good, though, because it has, like, that's right, yeah, now they're the most powerful desktop that they have, and it's so small. And, like, if they want to give it more power and some level of upgradability, they can make it a bit bigger. That's fine. But, like, it doesn't have to be that big. I think it's better when it's smaller, you know? Some people say that. Some people say smaller is better.
I agree. I mean, some people think that being large or even average is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. There's people
Some people would argue that it's not really about how large your computer is. It's more about how you use it and what you're doing with it. And if you really know how to get the most out of a small Mac, then a large Mac is redundant. You don't need it.
Absolutely. I could not agree more.
Now, as it stands, the Mac Studio is a great product. I love mine, because it is more powerful than the Intel Mac Pro, while being a tiny little fella that sits on my desk. And I play with my tiny little fella here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Yeah. I stick my SD card in there, mm-hmm, and the Mac Pro doesn't even have an SD card slot. Paying all that money, don't even get an SD card slot. What the hell?
It's crazy.
I wish it had upgradable storage. That I will say, absolutely. That had better be the case on this Mac Pro, or I'm gonna organize a riot, all right? We're gonna storm Apple Park.
But, like, if it doesn't, then what is it gonna be? It's like,
Exactly.
That's the whole thing about the Mac Pro. It's more power and, you know, some sort of modularity. And it sounds like, you know, maybe we're not getting either, or at least we're not getting more power necessarily. So, like, what's the point?
Why even exist? Like, I don't know what they're going to put in there. If it's just two Mac Studios stacked on top of each... Dude. It's two M2 Ultras squeezed together. Okay? This is effectively... What the rumors are describing is a Mac Pro that is essentially just two Mac Studios on each other's shoulders wearing a trench coat and pretending that it's 18 to sneak into an R-rated movie. That is not a real Mac Pro.
Yeah, that's... First of all, imagine, like, if it looked like the Mac Studio, but it was twice as tall, and it was just, like, this super, like, I guess, like, an almost like an Xbox-looking thing, but, like, that would be pretty funny, just, like, a super tall little thing. But I agree, that's not a Mac Pro. The Mac Pro is not just, you know, more power, and we can get into that whole discussion about the diminishing returns of having so many cores, but, like, you know, the core, you know, at that point, you can have too many cores and not enough, you know, power on each core, and then it's not worth it anymore. It's the diminishing returns.
Absolutely. Yeah, I for one am hoping, though, that they don't kill the Mac Studio, because some people were saying that the Mac Studio would get discontinued because it's not necessary and it was just a holdover until the Mac Pro came out. And to me, that seems kind of goofy, because why would you go to such great lengths to design this incredible looking product with an accompanying monitor and then just be like, okay, never mind, we're done now, kill it? No, nothing makes sense. Ah!
Yeah, they can't just kill that off. It doesn't make sense. But then, like, that market becomes so crowded. There's, like, the Mac Mini, the Mac Studio, and the Mac Pro. Like, you know, I guess that there's enough, you know, separation between the three of them that it makes sense. But, like, I was just thinking before, it's kind of funny because, like, we were talking about how crowded their laptop market is, especially if you throw a 15-inch Air into the mix, and we were talking about, like, how that pricing would work. The desktop market, on the other hand, is... you know, much less crowded, because there's literally one iMac, and then there's the Mac Mini and the Mac Studio. So it's much less crowded, maybe a little bit too sparse. You could argue they could use another product or two in there. But I don't know. I feel like they really need to bring back the bigger iMac. They need an iMac with the Pro and the Max chips in them more than they need a Mac Pro, I would even argue.
That's an interesting perspective. Personally, I think you're right. The laptops are getting a little crowded, but the desktops are, I think right now you've got the M2 Mac Mini, then the M2 Pro Mac Mini, then the M1 Max Mac Studio, and the M1 Ultra Mac Studio. That's a good progression, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The Mac Mini starts out with the base chip, and we go up to the highest end chip. Now, yeah, you could argue the M2 Max and the M2 Ultra would be necessary to really complete it, but it is what it is. I personally don't think we're going to get an M2 Ultra. I don't think that's going to exist. I've been saying that for a while, and I hope I'm right, and I hope that somebody pulls those tapes, and that is going to boost our podcast to be number one, because we're the best. We're not leakers. We're analysts. And I think that analysis... makes the most sense. If we're talking about M3 coming out, you know, why waste our energy here with an unnecessary M2 Ultra on these $5,000 products that people are not going to be upgrading every year? M3 Ultra makes more sense. So let's say we get, in a perfect world, M3, M3 Pro, M3, and those are in the Mac Mini, then M3 Pro and M3 Ultra in the Mac Studio. You gotta have that fifth thing. That Mac Pro, that realistically, if I were to have my way, they should go back and just break everything out again somehow. I don't know how, but that's not my job to figure out. I'm not the Apple. I'm not the trillion-dollar corporation. If you're going to make a Mac Pro, you got to have upgradable graphics and lots of them. You got to have upgradable memory. I'd even sacrifice upgradable memory, but you absolutely have to have upgradable storage. We cannot compromise on that. And I legitimately don't know how they would pull that off.
Yeah, so I will say, you know, first of all, upgradable storage, that I think we can expect, because we've seen, like, in the right. Mac Studio that it's, like, technically possible. They just won't
let
it happen.
They won't
let you. Right. But there's no problem there. The other thing that I will say is, obviously, when Apple has designed this Apple Silicon architecture, they've designed it with all of their products in mind, and they've designed it to, you know, take them theoretically, like, you know, it should last forever, right? Like, when they were using PowerPC and they were using Intel, like, not that they weren't always going to work with them, but, like, once you take it in-house, there's nowhere else for you to go, right? Like, are they – they're not going to, like, you know, outsource. They're not going to go back to, like, working with Intel or AMD or someone to do these things. Like, once you bring this in-house and you're doing it in-house, there's nowhere else for you to transition to. So this is – you know, they're going to be in this for the long haul. Now, the Apple Silicon processors, you know, 5-10 years from now could look very different from the current ones, but they're going to be –
hopefully.
They're going to be, you know, designed in-house. And so I think that when Apple designed these, they had to have had the Mac Pro in mind, right? They had to have at least thought about it. And maybe they had the compromise and they said, you know, this first sort of generation or this first sort of, like, group of Apple Silicon processors won't support this use case. Maybe they said that. Or maybe they have some way to do it, some way to, like you said, break out the different components and, you know, make them be able to talk to each other somehow, and so that you can swap them out and they'll still work. So maybe, you know, it's possible. There's no reason why it couldn't be if they thought about it ahead and they built it, you know, in that way to make it work. We just, you know, we'll just have to see.
Dude, I can't wait. They just have to, like. So the thing then, the follow up question to that is when. Because we've established that things are sort of lining up on the lower tier. The MacBook Air, the 15-inch, the iMac, these are our likely candidates to get the M3 chip first. So the logical next question then becomes, if you game this out in your head, let's say we get, maybe in April even, we get the M3 chip. Then at WWDC, we get the reveal of the headset. Perhaps then it follows in October that we get the higher end chips. I think this is starting to make sense. March or April, M3 chip. That probably needs its own event, which is slightly concerning to us, because if it's in April, oh no. Why'd they do this?
Yeah, that would be very interesting if it happened in April.
Yeah, Noah and I are going with our families on a trip to Italy. We've talked about this before. So, wait, let me look at the dates here. I'm a little scared. So, in April 13th, which is a Thursday, we leave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, realistically, the 12th, because we're going out of Philly. So, the 12th to the 22nd. Gosh, if they, oh no, they could really mess this up, Noah, for me specifically, which is if they have an event on April 11th, that would be fine for me covering it, but then it's quite possible that they would launch products the following Friday, which is when we'll be stuck in Italy. And thus not able to get those initial reviews. And then I'll probably be very sad.
Oh, no. Don't be sad.
Yeah.
Do you hear this, Apple? Do you want to make Luke sad? They probably do, honestly.
You're going to make me sad. Also, gosh dang darn it, beans. You know what, Noah? If they do come out with an M3 chip, I'm going to have to buy so many of these gosh dang diddly darn things, because realistically, people are going to want to know what the difference is between like a binned M3 and a higher spec M3. So that means I'm going to have to buy one of each. And then they're also going to want to know the difference between the 13 and the 15, which means I'm going to need one of each of those as well. Maybe I could get away with only buying three laptops, because maybe I could do the 13-inch base M3 versus the full M3. And then the full M3 in the 13-inch versus the full M3 in the 15-inch. So maybe I will only need to spend like $3,800.
Oh, that's nothing. But what about the iMac? If they do an iMac, would you get one of those or no?
No.
No?
If I was literally made out of money and I was just like a person manufactured from the ground up out of currency,
mm-hmm.
then maybe I would say, okay, let's get that in here as well. But given that it's the same comparison, right? There's only so much granularity that you really need. And I think at this point, people are just going to be like, okay, so it's going to be very, very similar. And that's all they're going to care about. So I don't think there's any need to review that. I just think it's a good thing to have. Hopefully they'll give it a couple upgrades. Maybe, I don't even know. I guess there's really nothing to upgrade apart from the chip.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what speed the USB ports are. Maybe they could be next gen. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that they even need to do that. I don't think there's any higher speed USB to give it. Maybe more ports?
Maybe. I don't know. Not much to do there.
Yeah. Golly. I don't know what they're doing here, but I will say the timeline is starting to add up here. All right? We're looking at, let's call it, just for argument's sake, April. We get an event with the M3 chip. And, oh no. What if they did this in March? Because we're hearing about this iPhone color. Maybe that should just go at the event.
So you think just do like a March like iPhone color base products, whatever? That could be a little thing there. They got a couple of things going on there.
Here's how they could get even more crazy. All right. Okay. Here's how this would work. In March, we know that TSMC is making 3-nanometer chips. And that this month specifically is when they're scaling things up significantly. So, what if at some point this month, possibly the later half of it, we get the event? But, like what happened in 2021 with the April event, there's like a month until launch. What if at the end of this month we get the announcement, but it's not until the end of next month that we actually get the products? And so that gives us M3... MacBook Air 13, 15, and an iMac. Then we get, you know, a new accessory, right? Like a HomePod or an AirTag or an AirPod type of thing. New iPhone colors. And what iPad is the oldest? What iPad needs a refresh? Maybe the Mini?
Yeah, Mini.
Maybe, you know, just a little thing to throw at it there. I think you've got yourself an event there. I think you could do an event in a week or two, honestly. We could be looking at a March event next Tuesday, very possibly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll have to see what happens, but like I think that makes sense. If they get all of that stuff out of the way, you know, the next thing's going to be WWDC. Obviously, we've got all the software upgrades there. And then maybe we could start looking, you know, if they announce the M3... at this hypothetical event, then, you know, we could see the M3 Pro, M3 Max even. and mm-hmm. maybe some of those products get announced. There's also the question about the headset. Are they going to talk about it at all at DubDub? There's some other things that they could talk about. But I feel like, you know, we said this before on a previous episode, that there's like a lot of stuff that's being rumored and a lot of stuff that we're expecting to happen. So it would make sense for them to do, you know, sort of two events, or to get some of that stuff out of the way before DubDub. And then, you know, they'll still have plenty to talk about at, you know, WWDC itself.
This is true, because WWDC then gives us the room for the tease of the headset, which obviously is a big thing. And we talked about that last week, about how that makes a lot of sense. That wouldn't come out yet, but that's a perfect time to announce it. And then at the end of the year, you could do another Mac-focused event where you do the M3 Pro and Max, maybe even the M3 Ultra, and then you announce the Mac Pro. We might have just figured out 2023 here, big guy.
I hope. I mean, you know, sometimes Apple does things that don't make sense. It's kind of how we started this episode, talking about how we didn't understand things. But I feel like that timeline kind of makes sense. There's a lot of stuff they can get out of the way, you know, this month, maybe next month. And then there's still a lot of stuff that they can do at WWDC. And then, you know, there's still plenty of stuff to do in the iPhone event and the Mac event at the end of the year. I think it makes a lot of sense. We just have to, you know, see what Apple actually does.
This is good. This is a very good, I think, Noah, that we have done a pretty darn good job of clocking Apple's plans.
I think, and you know, even more than that, I feel like we've done a great job this episode, because we started right in. There were basically no shenanigans. We started right in on
no
this.
No shenanigans.
We've been going for 50, almost 52 minutes, almost the whole episode.
Whoa.
And we've been like on the money. We've been, you know, focused. We've been talking through this. No distractions, no craziness. Usually we got a lot of craziness. None this time. I'm very proud of us. We really like ate our vegetables today.
We did a podcast. And we gave advice, because we talked about buying. We talked about timing. I think we should pat ourselves on the back.
I think we did an excellent job. And so I wonder, you know, maybe we can take these last couple minutes here. We could get a little bit more goofy, because we haven't gotten a chance to do that. Do we want to talk at all about what's happened over the past few days? Obviously not giving anything away, but maybe we could mention it a little bit. Because some of it's not a secret.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting a little dangerous here. Do we want to get into it?
I think... Let's do this. So Sam tweeted the picture of us. So that's out there. That's been seen.
Right.
So I think we can at least say that Luke and I met up with Sam Cole and John Prosser in LA.
That's true. That's public. We tweeted.
That's public information. Yeah. That's been seen. That's known. So without giving, you know, anything away, why we were there, what we were doing, I guess we could at least talk about, this was the first time that Luke and I had met John in person, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yes. That was quite the experience. I've never met John Prosser in the flesh until this weekend.
Yeah, and I found that hard to believe, because like, obviously, okay, me meeting him for the first time, like, sure, that makes sense, but like, for you to have met him, like, I feel like how long have you been in contact with him? Like, when's the first time you reached out to him, or he reached out to you?
Gosh, that's got to be like 2020, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be, and that's a long time. And the thing that's even crazier than that was that Sam had only just met John, what, a couple weeks before this, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that surprised me the most. I had not realized that they hadn't met.
Yeah, I mean,
until just recently.
Like, they have their podcast, they have their, like, merch line, whatever, and, like, they literally just met not that long ago. It's pretty crazy.
That would be like if you and I only met, like, a year ago, having known each other for 10 years.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah, like, I don't, that's... Like, I guess, you know, people, like, this is, like, a normal thing now, but, like, having... quote-unquote internet friends, like people that you talk to online a lot but you like don't know in person, like I don't know, I guess. Yeah. A lot of people have that experience. I haven't had that experience that much, but it's really interesting.
It's unexpected. I don't know, I feel like the thing that was really unexpected actually though was that it didn't feel weird. I mean, like, It's weird, obviously, meeting someone for the first time, but when you've effectively known that person for 3 years now, I was just kind of like, oh, hey, what's up? You're like a physical being.
Yeah, I feel like it was interesting because it didn't feel like meeting him for the first time. Like, when I, like, there are plenty of times where, like, I've met, you know, like, when I meet, I'm, like, I'm pretty, like, socially, I'm a little bit socially awkward. I am socially awkward, but I'm also very, very socially conscious in the way that, like, I always, like, I'm always constantly analyzing any social situation that I am in or could be in. Like, that just goes through my brain all the time. And, you know, there are plenty of, like, you know, you meet someone for the first time, you're like acting, you don't act like yourself, you know, you act like sort of like a more proper whatever version of yourself, like more polite, you know, more like generic, I guess, version of yourself with someone. When we met John, like, I didn't feel like that at all, because like we've been talking, the four of us have been talking a lot lately for some reason. We've been talking a lot lately.
Weird.
I don't know. But it really felt like, you know, it felt like, oh yeah, we're just seeing John again, like whatever. That was really interesting.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. It's a very weird sensation, but a good one.
Yeah.
It's definitely in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there was no like awkwardness. There was no like, you know, the getting to know someone had already kind of happened, and we just like, it was great. Like, we met up, you know, we hung out, we did all the stuff that we had to do, and it was, I don't know, it was super awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to show you guys what we worked on. I think you guys are gonna like it a lot. Yeah, I mean, I had a really great time. It's just one of those things that this job, as isolating as it can also be really, really great for just connecting people. Like, these are not people that I would have ever met. You and I met in history class in the eighth grade. So like, that makes sense. We lived like a mile away. Sam has lived his whole life in St. Louis, Missouri. I would, all respect to Sam, I would never in a million years voluntarily go to St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sorry. Would not have done that. And John lives in Arkansas. So, I mean, if St. Louis is here, Arkansas is down, gone. Oh, no. I have no desire to go to Bentonville, Arkansas. But, you know, it's amazing what the internet does.
It is really cool. Like, it's funny because, like, I'm very much like, we do this podcast together, otherwise I'm like very much outside of this. I'm, you know, just along for the ride. Like, you know, we've been friends for a long time. I've, you know, occasionally I'll do things, you know, YouTube things with you. Obviously we do this podcast every week, but like, you know, you make all these connections with other people that are doing the same thing, same way that like I have coworkers that I see, you know, in the office. Like, you don't have an office, but you still make these connections, and it's been super awesome for me to be able to join in as well and meet some of these people. Yeah. And, you know, do stuff like this, and super, super exciting.
Absolutely. It's, I'm so happy. What a great way to end the show. which is unfortunately what has to happen now.
Yes, I think before we do, people are asking when they can expect whatever it is that we're talking about. First of all, I will say, whatever you think is going to happen, I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be different, like bigger than you even think. And I'm not going to say anything more than that, but it's we're all really excited about this. And we don't know the exact timing, but like hopefully in the next couple of, I mean, it has to be in the next couple of weeks, right? I'm really hoping.
It's got to be.
It has to be.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to scream.
That's going to be a problem if it's not. So we're just going to say in the next couple of weeks, you will be able to reveal it. And believe me, you'll know when that happens.
Yeah. And whatever you're thinking, you're wrong.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident in that.
In fact, we're only a little over time. Put your guesses in the comments here. What do you guys think our announcement is going to be? I want to see what everyone thinks.
Yeah, let's give them. We're not going to necessarily confirm or deny, but I am curious. So we'll take a minute here. Mm-hmm. What do people think is going to happen?
Someone said that John lives in a KFC, which is definitely true. And while people are typing, I do also want to thank, we did have Rainer Richter here send a super sticker. So that's great. We are not operating at a loss for today's episode. And now someone thinks we're going to the dark side. Someone thinks Sam moving to LA. Somebody thinks let's all go to Puerto Rico.
That'd be fun.
Someone thinks a tech show like Car Trek, like an adventure with all four of us. Interesting.
Ooh.
Someone thought that we just went on vacation. Arguably not incorrect. Someone said a wrestling match.
Wow.
Which is frighteningly accurate.
Yeah, not for the reason you might think, but actually, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, the Genius and Dark Content House. Oh, yeah.
That would be pretty...
That's good.
Interesting.
That would be interesting. Someone said car related. Okay. We have... I think, Noah, we can sit very comfortably in our assertion that nobody is ever going to guess what we're working on.
I don't think so. And even if they did, even if they threw it out as an answer, I don't think that they would actually believe it. Like... It's, I don't know. I don't want to say anything. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be really, really cool.
You know what? We should end the episode before we get too excited. Do you agree?
I know. I'm like about to reveal everything. We got to just.
I know. I'm going to spill the beans. Oh, gosh. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thanks for watching the episode. I'm your host, Luke Miani. Have a good one.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye.